Imagine you are part of a team building a very tall tower made of blocks. You have three main builders on your team. One builder is in charge of designing the plans. Another is in charge of placing the blocks according to the plans. And a third builder is in charge of making sure the tower is strong and follows the rules of good building. If you gave all the power to just one builder, it could be a disaster. The designer might create a plan that is impossible to build. The block placer might ignore the plans and build whatever they want. The quality inspector might be too strict and stop all work, or too lazy and let a weak tower be built. The wise way to build is to make sure the builders work together and can correct each other's mistakes. This simple idea is at the heart of the United States government. It is called checks and balances. The men who wrote the U.S. Constitution were very worried about power. They had just fought a war to free themselves from the King of Great Britain. They saw the king as a tyrant, one person with too much control who could abuse his power and take away people's freedom. They never wanted to create a new king in their own country. At the same time, they knew that a government with too little power was also a problem. Their first government, under a document called the Articles of Confederation, was too weak to solve the country's problems. So, they faced a difficult challenge: how to create a government that was strong enough to lead, but not so strong that it could hurt its own people. They found an answer in the ideas of thinkers from Europe. A French philosopher named Montesquieu had a powerful idea. He said that a government's power should be separated into three parts. First, a part that makes the laws. Second, a part that carries out the laws. And third, a part that interprets the laws. Montesquieu argued that when these powers are separate, it is much harder for any one person or group to take complete control. The writers of the Constitution loved this idea. They divided the new American government into three parts, which they called branches. The legislative branch is Congress, and its job is to make laws for the country. The executive branch is the president, whose job is to enforce or carry out those laws. The judicial branch is the court system, led by the Supreme Court, and its job is to interpret the laws and make sure they are applied fairly. But they added another, brilliant layer to this idea. They decided that just separating the powers was not enough. Each branch needed the ability to check or limit the power of the other two. One of the main writers, James Madison, explained it perfectly. He said that to control a government, you must give each branch the tools and the motivation to resist the others if they try to grab too much power. He believed that ambition in one part of government could be used to fight ambition in another part. This is the system of checks and balances. It is like a complicated dance where each partner can stop the other from making a wrong move, forcing them all to work together. Let's look at how this works in real life. Think of the legislative branch, Congress, as the government's rule makers. What can they do to check the other branches? Congress has many powerful checks on the president. For example, if the president decides to reject a new law, this is called a veto. A veto is a powerful no. But Congress can fight back. If two-thirds of the members in both parts of Congress vote for the law again, they can override the president's veto and pass the law anyway. Congress also controls all the government's money. This is called the power of the purse. The president might want to start a new program, but he cannot spend any money unless Congress approves it. It is like a child asking their parents for money. The parents have the final say. Congress also has the power to approve the people the president chooses for important jobs, like his top advisors or judges for the courts. If the Senate, one part of Congress, does not like the president's choice, they can say no. In the most serious cases, Congress can remove a president from office. This process is called impeachment. It is a very rare and difficult process, but it is the ultimate check on a president who may have broken the law. Congress also has checks on the judicial branch, the courts. When the president picks a new judge for the Supreme Court, the Senate must approve that person. Congress also has the power to create the lower courts and can even change the rules about what kinds of cases the courts can hear. If the courts make a decision that Congress and the people strongly disagree with, Congress can try to change the Constitution itself, which is the highest law in the land. Now, let's look at the executive branch, the president. The president is not a king, but he is a very powerful leader. His most important check on Congress is the veto, which we already mentioned. The power to veto a law forces Congress to think about what the president wants. It encourages them to work together and find a compromise. The president also checks the courts. He is the one who appoints all federal judges. By choosing who becomes a judge, a president can influence the direction of the courts for many years, long after he has left office. The president also has the power to pardon people who have been found guilty of federal crimes, which is a check on the power of the judicial system. Finally, we come to the judicial branch, the courts. The courts might seem like the weakest branch. They have no army to enforce their decisions and no ability to create laws, but they have one of the most important powers of all, judicial review. This term means that the courts, and especially the Supreme Court, can review a law passed by Congress or an action taken by the president and decide if it is unconstitutional. The Constitution is the ultimate rulebook for the government. If the Supreme Court decides a law or action breaks the rules of the Constitution, it can declare that law or action void, which means it is canceled. This power was not written explicitly in the Constitution, but it was established in a famous court case in 1803 called Marbury v. Madison. In that case, the Supreme Court declared that it had the authority to strike down laws that violated the Constitution. It was like a referee in a game declaring that a player's move was against the rules. This power of judicial review is the court's ultimate check on both the president and Congress. It ensures that even the most powerful elected officials must follow the country's fundamental laws. So, why is this complicated system of checks and balances so important? It protects freedom. By making it difficult for any one branch to become all-powerful, it prevents tyranny. It forces the different parts of government to be accountable to each other. It also encourages compromise. Because the president and Congress often need each other to get things done, they are forced to negotiate and find solutions that have wide support. This system also slows down the process of governing. This can sometimes be frustrating when we want fast solutions to problems, but it can also be a good thing. It acts like a speed bump on a road, forcing the government to slow down and think carefully before making big decisions that could affect everyone's lives. However, this system is not perfect and it faces challenges today. It was designed over 200 years ago and the world has changed. One major challenge is the rise of strong political parties. The writers of the Constitution did not expect political parties to become so powerful. Today, government is often divided between two main parties. When one party controls the presidency and the other party controls Congress, the system of checks and balances can sometimes lead to gridlock, where nothing gets done because the two sides refuse to cooperate. They use their checking powers not to find compromise, but to block the other side completely. Another debate is about the power of the president. Some people worry that presidents have found ways to get around Congress, for example, by using executive orders. An executive order is a rule from the president that does not need Congress's approval. While these orders can be challenged in court, some people feel they give the president too much lawmaking power. This has led to worries about an imperial presidency, where the president becomes more like a king than an equal partner. There are also ongoing debates about the power of the courts. Some people believe judges should only strike down laws that are clearly and obviously unconstitutional. This is called judicial restraint. Others believe judges should be more willing to use their power of judicial review to protect rights and fix problems in society, even if it means going against the wishes of the president or Congress. This is sometimes called judicial activism. Finding the right balance for the court's power is a constant discussion in America. In the end, the system of checks and balances is like a constant conversation and sometimes an argument between the three branches of government. It is a messy, slow, and often frustrating process, but it was designed that way on purpose. The goal was never to create the fastest or most efficient government. The goal was to create a government that could not easily take away the liberties of its citizens. To summarize, the creators of the U.S. government deeply feared the concentration of power. To prevent abuse, they separated the government's functions into three branches: the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. More importantly, they created a system of checks and balances, giving each branch specific powers to limit the actions of the other two. Congress can override a president's veto and controls government spending. The president can veto laws and appoints judges. The courts can declare laws and executive actions unconstitutional. This intricate design was intended to protect liberty by forcing compromise, ensuring accountability, and preventing any single part of the government from becoming too dominant. While this system faces modern challenges like political division, it remains the core safeguard of American democracy.